Let's welcome in everybody for the Real Kipper and Bourne show for the next 2 hours. We're glad you're aboard wherever you're watching and listening. Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, wherever you get your podcast. And also, if you can't catch us live, there's an opportunity on YouTube to find us. Last year and a half, I think YouTube's been a special place for a lot of people to go, and we're glad that once again you have that option. And if you can, give us a rating and review any chance you can get. Special day south of the border, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So we got to acknowledge our friends south of the border, wishing them a meaningful Martin Luther Jr. Day, which meant also 5 games in the National Hockey League this afternoon.
Yeah.
And 5 tonight, including our Monday night Rogers Hockey with David Amber, which goes Avs and the Canadians as well. And Sammy, thanks for joining us today. I thought for sure it was just going to be JB and I, because you were supposed to go to Buffalo and shovel.
Yeah. You couldn't pay me enough, bud.
Did you guys see the video that's out there right now? So when's kickoff? In about 35, half hour.
Yeah.
There are people that are trucking through 4-5 feet of snow above their seats.
You know, you bought a seat. If there's something in it, you just got to move what's in your seat.
No, I'm sorry. No.
I'm taking the L on that one.
I paid top dollar. I should be able to see my seat.
No. You got a place in the building. Do your own shoveling. Kip, I'm with you.
How can they not give some sort of refund back?
How do they not have a company?
It's a 70,000 seat stadium. It snowed 10 feet yesterday.
Yeah.
You can't get enough people in there to get it all out in time.
Mr. Plow doesn't exist with a bunch of mini snowblowers. There's got to be some solution here.
No, there's no solution. It's Mother Nature. They had to literally move the game.
There is something out there where, like, men shoveling equals heart attacks sometimes.
Well,
I hope everybody's okay.
All jokes aside, that's what happened to my grandfather. It's a very
shoveling.
Real thing.
It's a real thing.
Yes.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, it was a
what
long
happened?
Time ago.
He just went out there.
He had a stroke. Heart attack, shoveling, the whole thing.
Oh,
stroke, not a heart attack.
Well, sorry about that.
Sorry to hear. Yeah, sorry to hear.
Hold on. Okay. That was not where I was intending to take
it's
this.
It's okay.
The point
is, it made it real.
He lived. Anyway.
But they're paying these poor saps $20 an hour. I mean, you're the Buffalo Bills.
I actually think they're paying them just $20.
No, I thought it was $20 an hour.
Is that what it is? Okay.
But like, so you're out there grinding for 3 hours.
You're not there for the money, Sam.
You make $60, and that doesn't cover your medical bills for your slipped disc and your torn labrum.
Or the flamethrower you had to buy to remove it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Tough.
Poor Bill. I wouldn't do it in a million years.
Okay.
But you give me field access, I'm going to be right here with you guys. No chance.
Playing quarterback.
So this is our Leaf edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne show. And we've got listeners and watchers right now going, excuse me, the Leafs lost back-to-back games on the weekend, and you're starting your show with shoveling and heart attacks?
We could probably tie those things to the Leafs.
The Leafs have been shoveling something. It's just not snow.
Giving their fans some aneurysms.
3 straight games where they've blown 3 leads at various times. This is now the halfway point. JB, you and I, along with Elliot and David Amber, did the show last night on the game. You know, when I first broke in the league with the Washington Capitals, I'd be kind of like this healthy scratch in and out. And then I play a couple games. And Bobby Rouse, remember Bobby Rouse?
Yes.
He'd always go, hey, Kipper, what's our record with you in the lineup? Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, there's only one answer to that. And it's, I don't know, but it's just getting better every game.
Yeah.
Now, we do the regional broadcast for the Leafs. And if someone's to ask me the question what our record is this year, I'd almost have to answer. I don't know, but it seems like it's getting worse every game. What is it, us?
I think we got one dub on the board.
One.
Yeah, the 8:30 one.
Yeah, the morning game against Detroit.
Do we need breakfast games to make us look good?
And it's not like they've been handed a murderer's row. We've seen them lose to Columbus, Detroit, I guess Boston.
But yeah.
Anywho, it was a interesting game, an interesting weekend for the Maplers. They're at they're at the halfway point of the season right now. Is that right? 41 exactly?
It is.
And they are on a 100-point pace exactly. And they, you know, every year there's ups and downs, ebbs and flows. I would say you're on a down and a flow right now. So we got some things to talk about.
This is where, like, I'm such an amateur host. I haven't got a clue where to start this conversation.
The only reason you're saying that is because we don't want to get too hard into it too fast.
Well,
let's talk about the hockey games. Let's start with the week.
Okay, so you tell me.
Okay.
Here's our choices, okay?
All right. Choose your own adventure.
We can start. you can start. I can start. Yeah. Sheldon can start on his overview of the games. Yeah. Or we can go to the heart and soul of what Leaf Nation is feeling by letting Sammy go first.
Not that me. One. That's
no.
Okay. Do you want to talk about Colorado or do you want to just
Colorado.
Talk about Detroit? Okay. So let's go overview of the Colorado game. They're up 3-0. They lose 5-3. Clip one, please.
Well, listen, to me, there's a couple things. If you're going to win this game and compete against that team, especially when they're shorthanded like they are with the injuries and such that they have, you got to be even or better on special teams, and you've got to be even or better against their best players. If you let their power play give them an advantage, and if their best players outplay ours, you're in tough. You're not going to beat that team. So we didn't win the special teams, and you saw what their best people did tonight. It's tough to win. As much as the Domi line got us going in the first period, like as much as we got from those guys, you need the whole game. And that's, like I said, the top group they have, like that's they're big time.
They're big time. So to me, that was a lot of like passive aggressive of saying their best guys were great and our best guys weren't. He never said our best guys weren't, but he preys on the Colorado Stars. And we saw how the minutes played out. They barely used the second line. Tavares eventually benched, essentially, in the third period, the team captain. We haven't really seen that before. And you had some commentary on that pregame before Detroit. So what did you think of that Colorado game and how it was handled?
I think it was consistent with their inconsistencies, mm-hmm. where they can look very solid. They can look very good to lead to a 3-0 lead. And for some reason that I cannot, I mean, there's a number of reasons, let's be honest, but the term, like, locking it down mm-hmm. doesn't seem to exist right now. Yeah. They don't know how to close it out. They don't know how to lock it down. They don't know how to play the percentages of defensive hockey.
Yeah, there's like this game state lack of awareness. And I had mentioned on our broadcast last night, the fourth goal that Colorado scores, you know, there's 3.5 minutes left. It's 3-3. Jake McCabe goes down the gut in the O zone to like chip in and look for a chance. You know, don't love that to begin with, but Willie Nylander folds in behind him, covers for him. Good job. But then Willie dives in, pinches on a play, trying to get a puck that he can't get, falls down. And Colorado goes the other way. And then they score on that rush. Willie changes on the way back, and Bobby McMahon gets the minus. 3.5 minutes left. How do you have McCabe and Nylander make decisions that aren't for the good of the team?
I hated that goal.
Hate it. And you want the save, too.
Of course you want the save. I mean, it's a world-class player, shoots at low glove. Like, it looks bad on Jones, and you probably should have had it. But the events that led to that upset me.
Shouldn't be a rush.
They upset
you
me.
Know?
Well, just that line, we can talk about those guys getting put up as the top line, and Keith gets to that. But it just, when those three guys have the possession low in the zone, McCabe, you play defense. stay high.
Yeah.
It's like they have possession. It's like there's no need for it.
The change Willie made really bothered me too, because you should have been the first guy back.
Like, oh no, I blew my coverage.
How does Mitch Marner, who's behind the net, when Willie, you're the third guy, ends up being the first forward back and being in position, at least he was in a position to potentially block a shot.
Yeah.
You're off the ice and at that point.
And Kip, they're not down 4-3 at that time. You know, so, they're not trying to create something offensively. It's a Western Division team or conference team.
Is anything said to Willie on that play at all? Or does he have now the $11.5 million contract where you don't get to hold him accountable for something like that?
No, now you have all right to hold him accountable. You've given him the money and expectations are high, I think. But I will say, and just for the interest of, we have to discuss it, since he signed the contract, he got a bunch of heat for tweeting about it. But Willie hasn't had a good shift in three games. He got the, and I'm not saying he stopped trying when he got, it's probably correlation, not causation. But he hasn't been good for three games in a row since the contract. It's been noticeable.
Well, the first game he plays after the contract is the Sharks.
Yeah.
Which, it's the Sharks, and everybody lights him up. He gets 3 points in that game, 3 assists. So give him credit for those.
Sure.
After that, it's been noticeable, and I'm like, I don't want to bury him immediately, but that's what comes with signing an extension like that, is the expectations. And it has been noticeable to me through three games where you need him. You're playing, he's one of the guys, he's one of the stars, and you're the other team's stars in a couple of the games were better. Anyways, Kipper.
No, we have a clip on that too if we want. On why he took Willie off.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, it's clip two, please.
I mean, you guys are watching the game. Like, when McKinnon's line gets out there with Makar and Taves, I mean, the caliber of play, like, that's not, like, that's not the NHL. Like, that's another league, right? So I didn't think we were handling that very well. So I just thought putting our best people together and going best on best, give us a chance to keep the puck away from those guys a little bit more, could help us at the same time kind of try to get more out of Willie, because Willie on his line was not good. That line was not good for us at all tonight. I don't know if they didn't have one good shift that I can remember. So I had to get Willie away from that. So all those things just kind of fit.
That looked exactly like playoffs to me, where you're playing a really good team and things aren't going your way. And Keith goes, looks at the buttons to hit and goes, load up. You know, like immediately, let's get our best guys together and see if that works. That's like, it either works or you load up the top line and there's no plan C.
Let me ask you guys this. Has that ever worked? Has Marner, Matthews, and Nylander going together? Like, I'd love to know what their production is together. It feels like it doesn't.
It does statistically. Last I checked, it like grades out. They create a lot still. But I don't ever remember a game where it's like they pulled them through or something. But the Columbus game in the bubble where they took him to OT in the third,
that didn't
maybe.
Happen.
Oh, the bubble didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Doesn't it seem like a million years ago that this team was in training camp and the thought was Willie was going to try a third line center ice position and that they were going to kind of spread this thing around and add depth, and now you're loading them up.
Yeah.
Is that this season?
And you haven't hit the halfway mark
what
here.
What kills me is when they put Willie at center, they said this isn't a short-term experiment. We're going to give this some run. If we can find the clip, I believe, I'm not asking for it.
He
actually says we're going to give this some run. They gave it like 9 seconds.
And it's so polar opposite to where you are today. That statement, that belief, that philosophy, that we're going to try something different, and now you're just resorting to, I don't know, like it looks desperate to me when you put those three guys on the line.
I agree. And so you commented on the show last night that Tavares doesn't play, Nyes gets bumped to the fourth line, barely used, and then, you know, I think they put Tavares out there down a goal with 30 seconds left his first shift and over 20 minutes of real time. And
And I just, and this isn't Tavares. This is Tavares. Okay, say what you will. Like, you can have any conversation you want with Tavares. Either he had an off night, or it's starting to kind of digress a little bit for him.
He's got last 10 games, so since Christmas, he's got 4 points minus five.
And listen, the guy tries he's out there working his ass off. Whatever he's got to give you, he's given it. I can assure everybody. But on this particular night, he didn't have it. And why do you let him sit for 21 straight minutes and then go back to him in the last minute when the legs have completely seized up?
Yeah. We've talked about this theme from Sheldon a lot, right? He wants every game. He wants to win the 2 points, and he thinks that Tavares will give him a better chance than whoever else is playing more. He'll go back to guys, and, you know, that hasn't always worked out, and it certainly didn't against Colorado. So they blow that one. So they go into Detroit. Anything else on that?
Well, the visual to me of elevating Nylander is horrible.
Yeah, it was like a... Sure, like, punishment spot, but they were like...
You guys watched the game closely like I did. Domi was by far their best forward to that point in that game. They had 3 points in the... Well, he had 2 points in the first period. Anyways, scores a goal. He's been great. And it's just, if you're watching, Holmberg, our boy, was buzzing the whole period, really playing well. He did it last night. He put them in a different spot. Try something else. Like, watch. Don't just have your first... instinct to be, like you said, the button, the loaded up button. Like, Domi was excellent through the first half of that game. Elevate him.
Yeah.
Try something else. So.
Yeah.
So they did. Going into Sunday's game, Holmberg joins Matthews and Nylander. Is that right? That's who it was? Yeah. And then, Domi and Marner got a chance to play together with Bertuzzi on the left side. And I will say, everyone... You know, I know there's some talk about Sheldon today, and we're going to have some about him too. But, like, I thought, actually, Sam, you might have made this point on Leafs Talk, that a lot of what he did, or maybe Bunk did, was exactly what everyone is saying he should do.
Yeah.
Let's see these guys in some different spots. Mix the lines up. Let's see, you know, the Domi and Marner together. Let's see some, you know, the stars on three lines. He gave something new a chance. So, I don't know. We have a clip on that if we want to hear him on the new lines.
The concerning thing for me, after he... does that, where you lose a bad loss, where you don't show up for half of the game, you change the lineups, it's the second end of a half to back-to-back, the Red Wings got to the rink at 7:45 p.m., you kind of figure that's like a wake-up call, and the team may come shot out of a cannon, right? And they didn't. They did the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And that would be concerning to me.
Just one more before we kind of move on to last night.
Yeah.
And once again, just this feel that it just doesn't come naturally to this club to have reactions when one of their stars gets run. Mm-hmm. And we saw it Saturday night, Josh Manson. Cross-check, no cross-check. I'll have that conversation with you on whether there should have been a penalty or not all day long. But regardless, the mere fact that Josh can get a free shot on your best scorer, your most dangerous guy out there, your star, your face, whatever you want to say, and just not have any type of reaction off of it other than this little scrum where everybody's looking not at each other, just anywhere but, and then they happily move on. It's like, why? I know it's not in their personality,
but they've been better
catalog, and they have shown signs way of better. It, but it's not a sometimes thing. It's an all the time thing.
Kip, your boy, Mitchy, can't be exempt from it. You know, like, I know he's not a tough guy.
No, he has to be exempt from it.
He's 6 feet tall, and he's the first guy to Manson.
He's the first guy in.
Right? Exactly.
Which is supposed to start the pack mentality.
Right.
And, listen, he is exempt. He is not the guy. But just the mere fact that he's there should have caused Gregor to come in and say something to him. Gregor, you're a fourth-line guy, okay? Yeah. You're not a first guy in waiting. You are a fourth-line guy. You will always be a fourth-line guy. And you have fought before. I'm not saying that you have to fight Josh Manson, but I'm just saying you got to come in now and relieve Marner from that spot and say, you got to come through to me before you get to Marner. I got to protect Marner too there.
That's, you know, to me, I'm fine with the idea that the Leafs need to stay on this for sticking up for one another thing. That is something they've struggled with for years or whatever, but it's like the 300th most important talking point from that game to me. Like, they've been better at this. It hasn't been a reason to me that they're crummy.
Yeah.
I know we still want it, but I don't know. No. I didn't look at this weekend and go, not tough enough. That was not my takeaway from the weekend.
No, I'll tell you what, though. That clip, when it comes to the playoffs, is going to get shown over and over again to your opponents, and they're going to say, this is how you play against
it's
Matthews.
It's just not news.
But you know what else is not news? That Matthews kind of gets shut down in the playoffs. That's new. That's not news either. And this is the way you do it.
Yeah. I mean, they are.
That's all.
There's no secrets about what they are. They are four superstars, and they need to be playing well for them to have a chance to win. And so everyone piles on the superstars, you know, like free shots every time you can get one. There's no secrets here.
I mean, that was a shot, but I didn't think it was like a malicious play. It deserved a conversation. It deserved somebody to go over to him. But I think he had the puck in his stick and he just did like a push with the stick, caught him in the sweet spot, obviously. But like, I didn't think that was like the Marchand situation or one of those. Like, I think on the grade of things that were bad.
You got him keeled over.
Yeah, you got to go ahead and do something. I agree.
He's down and he looks hopeless and it looks like your best players. Listen, it's just a bad look. I'm sorry. It's a bad look.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, agreed. It's not.
So you think you made strides and you took two back. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
that.
Yes.
Okay, it's not a sometimes
I'd
thing.
I'd also you like Matthews to get up and punch him in the face. So
he'll never do that.
He won't. But he'll never do that. And I've moved on from that. It's just not the way he is.
I had this very conversation with my old man yesterday. Yeah. It's like, just... You gotta.
He won't do it.
Happen. No.
So stop waiting because it's not gonna happen.
It's got to be another plan, another solution.
So quit asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nick Saban over here.
just your first gut instinct, your first thought when you saw the lines going into Detroit. That is as much as the bingo bangle balls.
Yeah.
That we've seen out of Sheldon, perhaps his whole Leaf tenure.
Yeah. You know, my first thought was that good. I think that a little bit of newness and excitement might, you know, what could be a sleepy game on a back-to-back. Detroit's not as great a team. I thought this might inspire a few guys. You'd get Holmberg going. Maybe Domi'd be excited to play with Marner. You know, maybe Robertson excited to be in the lineup. You know, like just you get the guys a little juice for the game. Not a lot of juice.
No.
Yeah.
I thought when I looked at those lines in warm-up, I was like, oh, he's feeling it. Sheldon's feeling it. Because it is so far out of character to put Willie, like three separate lines for those guys. Never happens.
Yeah.
And I was like, oof, he's feeling it.
But he should. And to me, it's good coaching to be like, okay, we got to try something else. If he just rolls out the same lineup, it's like, are you even coaching at all? What were your thoughts?
Yeah. I did like the changes. Mm-hmm. I did not want to see Willie Matthews loaded up like that.
Like if someone's going to drive a line, I think you're best saying to Willie, do it. You go be the third line center, if you like.
Yeah.
Go be the guy in the third line, and you should be able to drive possession.
How many shots did Willie have last night? Four or five?
Well, he had eight attempts when you asked mid-game. I don't know what it ended up being.
He shot pucks that I thought normally he wouldn't shoot.
Yeah. So you thought he was starting to force it?
Starting to force it. And like you've got one shooter on that line. Last night I saw two guys trying to fight to get shots, and there was a tremendous lack of chemistry between Nylander and Matthews last night.
Mm-hmm.
So two shooters last night is what I saw.
Yeah, so you would just rather go with you would stick with Marner and Matthews together. Do you want to hear the clip on why he did it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I think that is clip...
Seven.
So what inspired is just you're coming off those two games and the nature of the back-to-back here. I just felt it is a good time for some change. There's a couple things that I've been wanting to try for some time now, in particular getting Marner back with Domi. You know, since the one game we did that when Austin was sick, that went really well for us, and I've been wanting to go back to it, but it's just, you know, Denver felt the timing was quite right. So today, to me, it was good timing, and then just the nature of how our game went and some of our guys yesterday, I felt it was good time to change some things. In terms of how it went, I thought Mitch Marner was excellent here tonight. I really liked how he and Domi worked together and with Bird as well. Like it's a couple big time plays.
So there you go. That's why he did it.
Yeah.
But gives you an answer to why he didn't stick with Matthews and Marner together. He wanted to try Domi and Marner because he liked it.
It's funny because like I like the lines, but then you're left with that Tavares, Yarncroc, Robertson line that is like a here's what's left when you put the puzzle together line, and that's not a viable line.
Well, it just shows their lack of depth at forward, right?
Lack of options.
The one thing that I did not like at all was just watching last night in the last 10 minutes, particularly when the game's on the line and you've used Matthew Nyes, all but 2 minutes. 220. I just, for the life of me, I can't understand why Sheldon would go through his rotation and then decide to put Matthew Nyes and Gregor, your fourth line, with the game on the line with 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, you know, I'm different in that they play they have the two lines you know you're going to play no matter what, right? And then you can't just play two lines.
No. Well, you can play the guys that you believe that can get the job done.
Yeah.
And I don't know. To me, getting the job done doesn't necessarily mean going for the game-winning goal. It's just covering yourself, too. Like you gotta get to...
You know, Yarncroc and Tavares
and
Robertson?
No. That needed to be Domi and my best 200-foot player, Marner, in the last 6 minutes, all had, a shift and a half? That was Marner. Marner needed to be on the ice with 2 minutes to go.
Was he on the shift before that? Like, I don't think he's underplaying those guys in big minutes.
I think it went, if I'm not mistaken, the shift before that was Tavares. And then he went to his fourth line.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Marner's got to be on the ice in the last two minutes.
To me, you put them out there, the fourth line out there enough throughout the period so that you're ready to have your best guys on the ice at the end of a game when it's tight.
Listen, Matthew Nyes has regressed, okay?
For sure.
He's in his first year. He's still learning how to be a pro. You don't have him on the ice in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah.
Okay?
You know,
you've dropped him from the first line to the fourth line, and now the game's on the line, and you got a college kid out there.
I think you're calling it a fourth line, not you, but I think we and everyone is calling it a fourth line because no one has the heart to say that Tavares line is the fourth line. Like, I like the Nyes, Kampf, and Gregor as a line fine. You know, today you go
online.
Did you
see how open Kopp was at the end?
Yeah.
That was between Gregor and Matthew Nyes.
They sucked. Bad play. Brutal. So, you know, everything I see today is, you know, what's Keith doing? And, people are talking, fire Keith. Is it seat hot? Whatever. That game to me and the game before it themselves, there's nothing in those games where I go, that's why you fire Keith. If you want to fire Keith, to me, it's like you think that you need a new voice or a new motivation or
a new system.
Something like that. To me, like, oh, we didn't deploy the right guy. He's very good at that. He has proven to be a successful coach in this league in the regular season. And also, if you don't play a guy like Nyes in these moments, you get to the playoffs and you go, you didn't play him there all year. You can't use him.
No, you can't.
So you have to give them the opportunities in close games. You're playing game 41 against Detroit.
Listen,
you can't use them then.
This is a team that's supposed to win now. This isn't a process where you're building Nyes up to be.
How is it not? Yes, it is.
No, it's not. It's not. You're asking a kid to come out of college, first of all, and step on the first line. Mistake. Okay? And now you're grooming Nyes to be the guy in the last 2 minutes to protect the lead in a year that you're supposed to be contending for the Stanley Cup. That's in a process of building your team up. That, to me, is not that situation anymore. You're trying to win a Stanley Cup this year. And I don't think that Matthew Nyes will ever be this year the guy that you're going to first throw over the boards to protect the lead with 2 minutes to go.
If you look at their left wing position, and you in particular have highlighted how weak it is, you're not going to be in a situation where you don't need Matthew Nyes to play meaningful minutes. If you go to overtime in the postseason, you can't not play Nyes. He's going to be one of your three best left wingers. He's going to be on the ice in situations that matter. I don't think shying away from those is the right way to play it. I know he's not playing well right now. But to me, it's like there's arguments for getting rid of Keith. Whatever happened this weekend to me is not them.
Yeah. See, I see it differently. I see matchups. I see at times that under 10 last night, Tavares, Nick Robertson, and Yarncroc had almost a 2 minute shift. I'm like how does Sheldon allow Nick Robertson to be out there for 2 minutes? I'm like, it's ridiculous. I mean, shifts too long by guys. Mm-hmm. And it's just,
what do you say? So what are you saying here? Like,
I'm saying that Sheldon needs to grab a hold of this. Like, there's just a lack of discipline that I see stemming from Sheldon right now. I do. I see it on certain matchups. I've seen fourth line guys out there on offensive zone faceoffs that probably could have used your top lines. Seeing the fourth line out there or struggling. A young player like Nyes, you protect him. You got to put him in a position to succeed. I don't think putting him out there in the last 2 minutes did that.
Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest thing that I see from a deployment factor that I don't like is the idea of sitting guys down and then the game's late and it's close and you need him again. And that Tavares point is a pretty egregious one. We see him do it with Willie, you know, where it's like, oh, I'm not happy with him. You miss a shift, but then you need him again and you go back to it.
Like, even the line changes, okay, but what happened now is that you've essentially what Sheldon's done now is he switched out Marner's importance and he's now given it to Willie. And now Marner's into Nylander's position of probably the third guy now on the depth chart. Because if you take a look at last night, I think Matthews and Nylander came over 20 minutes, 21 minutes, and Marner was at 17 and a half. We've never seen that.
Yeah.
Never.
Ever.
Particularly when
And we're
Marner's
seeing Nylander
well.
Start.
And it's a tight game.
Yeah.
And it's a tight game, and shorthanded situations, Nylander starting to kill penalties as the first guy. Again, there seems
their
to be
PK a, one there's, has been
there's,
not
a
great.
There's a switch going on in the last little while.
Yeah. Their special teams have been bad, yeah. Right? Got to do something.
So, I mean, to me, Mitch is still your best, most accountable 200-foot player on the team. And right now, I don't know if where Sheldon's going with this, you know, moving forward. I don't understand.
So how serious is this conversation about Sheldon with Toronto? Like, are people just upset over a few game losing streak here, or is this something where the organization itself would be unhappy?
It's a long relationship now.
Yeah,
you know, he's one of the more tenured guys in the league.
Okay, and do we need to go to break?
We got 5 more minutes.
Okay,
do you want to go to break?
No,
now?
I'm okay. We can pick up Sheldon, the conversation on Sheldon after the break, or we can. I'm okay.
Let's
keep it going.
We can hit a break.
Okay, let's hit a break. All right, more on the Leafs, more on Sheldon Keefe, and more on the Leafs heading out west on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We'll be right back.
Your daily dose of everything NFL. It's the Fan Checkdown with Matt Marchese and Donovan Bennett. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Just before the break, we were talking Sheldon Keefe, and you know, a lot of people are starting to have that discussion on where the Leafs with Sheldon Keefe, and you know, is it a coaching issue here? Is it a roster issue? Would possibly a coaching change make a difference? Big difference? Little difference? No difference at all?
I'm not sure they're discussions. They are being yelled at. Us from all facets.
Yeah.
The text line, everybody in my life, it's getting hot here, boys.
But you know what? It gets hot when people don't know why the team is losing.
Well, I know why the team is losing in the last few games. The start has been crap.
Well, they haven't done nearly as much as they did in earlier games. But when a team with good players loses a bunch in a row, everyone goes, coach?
There are some teams, like I'll go back to the LA Kings win on the road, and I know what the LA Kings have lost like 8 in a row.
Yeah.
Like it's ugly there too.
Yeah.
But I want to give the Leafs credit for, in my opinion, looking like a total team win. I think one of the issues with Keefe over the last few years is that a lot of his wins have strictly come off four guys and their offense, and less about a top to bottom look. You can agree with that or disagree with that.
Well, or argue if that's the way the roster is constructed and he's just using the tools he has.
But why is it constructed like that?
Like, because of Sheldon? But,
no. Well, you've got 16 other guys on the bench. Like they're at your disposal, but you have seemed to have set it up that if these four guys don't go, you don't win. And
hey, he went with Nyes and crew with 2 minutes left last game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, in January. But where you been for the last 4.5, 5 years developing other guys? Like Pontus Holmberg is a wonderful example. And I told you guys I like this guy. Big, strong. He can do a lot of things. Sheldon or Brendan or Brad decide he has a crappy training camp and we're going to put him in the minors. And I'm like, okay, he may have had a crappy, but work through it.
Mm-hmm.
You have something here.
That looks bad now.
All you did was delay and set him back. And he should have been further up in the program of development than in the last week. Everybody notices him now.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that maybe if Sheldon would have sacrificed a little bit less on his dependent of four guys, maybe there might have been another Holmberg that has surfaced quicker. He's now, I don't know if he might be too late to the party, the accountability party for me, Sheldon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a race between now and the end of the year that Sheldon, like, what did the light switch go on all of a sudden that we've heard accountability more than we have since the day he was hired years ago?
Yeah. I kind of think it may be a tree living thing, or it may be a thing where he recognizes that the way it's been going hasn't been working and, you know, we need to do something differently. But, you know, again, I don't mean to be this, argumentative today, but I don't think the development's been, who have they had? All these guys in 1 year contract comes in. It's Kasha, it's Bunting, it's, all these 1 year guys that are in the middle of their careers. I just don't know. Pierre Engvall, he developed the hell out of him, and that guy went and got 7 years somewhere else and they traded him. Rasmus Sandin played here for 4 years. He's gone. Like, they just haven't had anyone. To me, this is a lot of this are GM issues. You know, it's the way this team is built, and that's a worthwhile criticism too.
Or the way it was left by Kyle Dubas.
Sure.
But we had the same conversations when he was here with Dubas, right? Like, it's not like he left it any different than he, I guess, traded everything away.
I,
but
I sit there and I go, even if they made a coaching change, like, I'm not sure, like, I'm not convinced. There's stuff that I don't like to see out of Sheldon, but I'm not convinced that if they were to fire him tomorrow and bring in Craig Berube, if this roster is strong enough to even make a significant difference.
I think that's an important point. What, in terms of true talent, where is the Leafs roster in the league? Right now, I think they're like 12th in the league in points percentage or whatever. In terms of true talent, are they much better than that? Can you squeeze maybe a couple of extra places up the standings than that? Their decor is, you know, Morgan Riley and...
And, like, Jake McCabe had a very...
Tough weekend.
Yeah. Tough weekend. And, again, like, last night on the game-winning goal, he leaves his feet again. Saturday night, we're watching him slide right by Nate. Mm-hmm. It looked like a Top Gun movie for me. Remember, not the new Top Gun, the old Top Gun.
Yeah.
You seen them?
Never seen any of them.
Oh, really?
No. You're out of this conversation.
That's what you should just see.
In the early Top Gun, so you got Maverick and Goose saying, okay, you know what? We're going to hit the brakes and the MiG is going to fly right by us.
Like, that's what you saw, huh?
McCabe's the MiG.
Yeah. I think that's a fairly accurate assessment of McCabe, actually. That's pretty good.
Very much so.
That works. So, yeah. He's
I think having Craig Berube out there, which fits the profile of hard-ass guy that's taken an underachieving
team. This is the cycle of coaches, right? The hard-ass, different.
But, like, you know what I mean? It's like Leaf fans are looking at that being like, well, he's the hard-ass guy that's taken an underachieving team after the coach got fired that was in the basement, up to the top. These prima donnas need some accountability. Like, it's the perfect storm right now.
There's pain coming.
Where every losing streak is going to have this. And it's
his name out there does change the pressure because he
is. But that's what I mean. But from here on out, it's getting loud on this Western road trip, boys. This is a huge road trip for Keefe.
It is.
I'm telling you, they go into Edmonton, and you say what you will about Leaf fans and Edmonton fans, it's a little rivalry here. It's a rivalry, no question. They hate Leaf fans. We don't really think about them a ton, but they really do hate Leaf fans.
Is
going out there, the Leafs get starched when the Oilers win their 11th straight game or whatever. It's just going to get louder and louder against other Canadian teams. They're in the spotlight. It's a big, big week for Keefe. It is. I can't look at it any other way.
Would Berube get out there?
I don't know if there's enough time to or is the roster good enough to convince people that if you just make a coaching change, this team could compete for the Stanley Cup. Like, I'm watching this weekend, and you want to give up a first-rounder for Chris Tanev? I'm not convinced Chris Tanev would change this team dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
You may need to give up two first-rounders to get two top-four-type defensemen.
And, yeah, like, if you're Tree Living assessing this team, there's a chance they're playing poorly enough that you go, this year I want to do this. Do I want to burn assets trying to win this year when I'm not sure about the group we have? You know,
yeah, I mean,
they're getting
that's
into
a
that.
Dangerous game, though.
Yeah.
Because you have guys
prime
that are
peak stars.
Prime.
And
God, that was an eye-opening game against Colorado.
Watching those top guys there.
Jesus. Feels like Keith was right. Different sport. Different league.
One thing I that should be impactful on their decision-making is look around the league and who's the best team in the NHL? We don't have a consensus one that we can all name right now. I think our show likes Florida quite a bit, but like Boston's there. Yeah. The Rangers are there. I know Vegas is struggling. The Canucks and Jets are on great runs, but my point is there's a dozen teams, and the Leafs might be one of them, that have a chance if things go right at the right time. Joe Woll's healthy and their stars catch fire.
Is there a world where they do the reverse, where they have to play themselves into the playoffs and get hot at the right time? Like, there's other things you can convince yourself here.
But I think if they follow the same blueprint of just waiting for four guys to bail them out, it can't work.
So there, then there what is do no they world. Do? There's, what's the suggestion yeah. to, you know, to change that?
Yeah.
Well, they're play going next, all in on it. They just gave Willie Nylander $92 million.
Do you make a change just for the sake of making a change? I mean, I don't know if it can be saved. I don't know.
I mean, you know, this is, we're sitting here right now. They just, I understand.
There's a lot of work.
There's a lot of work to be done.
Moving forward,
but they
here.
Had just, you know, had a good run of games. They won four
Where?
Games in a row.
San Jose, yeah. come on.
They handled
their
business.
They played their best game in 3 years against the Los Angeles Kings, who yeah. now can't win a game. So maybe it looks a little differently and now, they,
you
but
know,
still.
But they had runs against in that Colorado game where you're like, all right. Like, you know, Florida blows a lead to Anaheim and loses today. You know, Vancouver loses to Columbus. I'm just saying, like, you know, they're not the only good team to lose games. Yeah. And so trying to tease out.
They are better than this weekend.
Right, exactly.
I get it.
Trying to tease out the big picture
For sure.
of where are they. Yeah, they're better than this weekend.
They're 1 point ahead of the Red Wings.
Yeah, I'm sure they got a couple games in hand there.
I don't.
Seems likely.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's.
Okay, listen, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Samsonov. That yeah. seemed to be the story of the whole weekend and when he was going to start and if he'd get Detroit. He was good. Unfortunately, he wasn't better than Reimer. But, hey, listen.
Reimer was good.
Reimer was good.
He was good.
He was one save better.
Yeah.
I mean, the Leafs didn't create but, crap, though.
A positive sign for you? I mean, does it buy you time? Sheldon absolutely loved him. Do we have his comments on Samsonov?
Yeah,
clip
let's
five?
Yeah.
Let's play it.
He battled his ass off. It's the best I thought he's looked all season, just in terms of how he was tracking the puck, and some of the saves looked like the Sammy that you know that we came to know last season. So I think this is a positive step for him, and obviously disappointing result.
Okay, you can't say that and not start him tomorrow night against Edmonton.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm serious.
You're out of your tree. You would start him against the Oilers.
We do not agree.
Listen, I thought it was nuts that they started him last night.
Same.
Okay? I wouldn't put it past them at all to start him tomorrow night. He just told you that's the best he's looked all year.
Yeah, because he's got to juice up the most fragile guy in the organization.
I didn't love any of the goals.
No, Larkin's goal, he's flat on the goal line on a shot from an angle. Like, go ahead and turn.
He goes full Johnny Bauer on the breakaway. Just play goal.
Like, I'm not. He let in three on 23. He didn't let in three in 53.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to begin to guess because every time I guess, I'm wrong.
I'm not even close to convinced about anything. On
Start that. Jack Campbell.
Loan him to the Leafs.
Loan him and start him.
We got to read here, boys. Hold on. From February 1st to 3rd, the All-Stars are in Toronto for NHL All-Star Weekend and will be giving away tickets to the different events in the episodes today until January 26th. Today we have tickets to the NHL All-Star Thursday, which includes a PWHL 3-on-3 showcase, the NHL All-Star Player Draft, plus a tribute to the 1967 Leafs. To enter for a chance to win, text today's code word, 1967, to 595. Uh-huh. Like, who wrote this? Is this a joke?
Is this a parody?
Really?
What are they doing to me?
Really? 1967?
Yeah. Text in today's code word, 1967, to 590-590.
Yay.
Oh.
What? No way.
Whoever wrote this wants changes now. Now. This is so cryptic. So cryptic.
Yeah.
By the way, Buffalo Bills up early, 7-0.
All right. Well, listen, that was one fast hour on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
We need another one.
And I can tell you with 100% certainty, we've solved nothing on
Zero.
This show. Zero. But that doesn't mean we're going to continue here. As we go national next hour, Gary Galley, terrific analyst for Sportsnet, will join us next as we continue the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.